Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The opinions and suggestions expressed on the following program are solely those of the participants and are not necessarily endorsed by KRMG, Cox Media Group Incorporated, or the program sponsors. It's an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome to Wheels with automotive experts from Cecil & Sons Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Tulsa Gas Technologies, your CNG expert, here to answer your questions about your car, truck, or SUV. To join the program, call 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. Or you can text your questions to 95920. The Ask the Experts weekend rolls on with Wheels with Lloyd Boland, Troy Cox, Tom Sewell, and the host of Wheels, Denver Fox.
Good morning. This is the Wheels Car Care Show. I'm not Denver Fox. I'm Skyler Cooper sitting in for Denver this morning. He is having a good old time in Las Vegas. And if you follow us on Instagram at KRMG Tulsa, he already met Elvis. He's having a good time. Filling in, but I love sitting in for Denver on the Wheels Show. Lloyd Boland joins us. He calls you the king of the crankshaft. I just wonder, is there anyone who's like the king of the camshaft? Because I know more about camshafts.
I don't think so. Well, they're both vital, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess more Prince position.
No, that came from a guy years ago. I can't remember his name right now. Maybe it'll come back to me. But he came up with all kinds of names because he had a, down the, when you guys were in the other building, he had a, I can't remember the letters on it, but I'd always go in and say hi to him and talk to him and say, I hate country western music. And he started making up all these names. So that's where all that started. But it's been a long time ago.
Well, let's come up with some more. I like the king of the camshaft because I remember that was one of the things in my high school. Everyone had an old pickup truck. In fact, we went, I think the favorite hot rod trucks are those 67, 72 C10s.
They still are.
Yeah, and they look great too when you redo them. But we would always soup those things up and race them down by the lake.
Yeah, that's one year. Well, those years of trucks, 68 to 72, they're still there. They're big.
Tom Sewell? Yeah. Tom Sewell with CNG. It's one of the things I was driving by, the compressed natural gas thing at Tulsa Gas Tech. I always think about you guys when I drive by and see gas going up because we always have that conversation. It's $2.29 now for a gallon of regular gas with E10, and you're sitting where?
We're at $1.55.
And that changes once a year or something?
Well, we haven't changed it. We've only changed it once, and it was a tax thing that the past administration did to us. But we haven't changed it in 3 years, and we've got our gas purchased right now through the end of this year, and we're negotiating on gas through 2020 at the same price.
And it seems like if you're going to be any kind of business or something where you're going to need a company truck, the conversion is worth it for this.
Oh my gosh. If you're in business and your vehicle is your tool, and that means it runs around all day long, so quick payback. One of the things I really like about this whole CNG deal, the gas comes from Oklahoma, all the equipment, you know, that gets it out of the ground comes from Oklahoma. The pipelines are in Oklahoma. Utility companies in Oklahoma. All my equipment's in Oklahoma. You know, so the money stays here.
And that's one of those things a lot of people think, well, sure, that sounds like a great idea and maybe the conversion's worth it, but it's going to be inconvenient to refill it. But that's becoming less and less the case.
Oh, yeah. There's over 100 public stations here in Oklahoma. And if it's really that big a deal, we can put a pump at your house, put a pump at your business. So it's really a simple deal.
Troy Cox, Cecil & Son, Discount Tires, Sand Springs, and Sepulpa. I imagine it's been a busy time for you guys over there.
Well, you know, weather up and down, it impacts multiple systems on your cars, whether it's the tire pressure dropping on these really cold days or, you know, the coolant leak you've been ignoring, letting your coolant get down low enough that your heater's not working. So, you know, this is the time of year when you really start paying the price for deferred maintenance.
We're starting to reach that point in the season where we're transitioning out of winter and back into summer. So you might have some questions about what you want to do with your cars. Give us a call, 918-460-KRMG, 460-5764. You can also leave us an open mic with the KRMG app. We're watching that. Or text us at 95920. And gentlemen, someone's already got the right idea. They're sending us a text early. They have a 2006 Silverado. It's an LT crew cab. It's the 5.4. I think they mean the 5.3 V8. changed the NOx sensors last year, and 4 months after that, check engine lights back on. What could that be?
Well, number one, they'd have to check to find out what the light is on for. And it, I don't necessarily think it's the same thing, but that's what he's going to have to do before he can go any farther. It's just hooking.
Oh, it could be anything.
Yeah, it could be hundreds and hundreds of things.
Well, mine set a light this week. There's a sensor that sends the oil pressure to the dash.
Yeah.
And that quit. And so it's got a hard code on my dash. So I plug my scanner in, and I've got oil pressure.
Yeah.
It's just not sending the signal to the dash.
That's one good thing about computers. You can tell really what's happening.
Should you go, because I had to have codes read once in a while, is the code reader at the parts store adequate, or should you take it somewhere else?
Code reader is adequate. It's just that you have no information. See, what we have is we have a tester. It'll scan everything. But also, when you have a code, you can punch in and find out what that code means. And then you can even go as so far, if you want to take a chance on some of them, as to tell you what it is. Now, sometimes that can be kind of scary, so you got to be careful.
Right, like the code reader you get at Walmart will say like a P108 or something like that. And you look it up and it says what it is. But like on ours, like on my truck, it said that we had a sensor failure for the oil pressure. But I could look at my scanner and with another sensor physically read the oil pressure. I knew it wouldn't pull the truck over time. That's a serious code. But we can just go deeper. We can physically read the voltage off the sensor. And then it starts letting you make decisions on where to start, because it's not a, hey, change this part code.
Right.
It's a where to start code.
Similar. I mean, a couple of quick examples of the parts store thing. You know, we had one come in the other day. Well, you know, I'm told I need new catalytic converters because I've got low CAD efficiency. Well, maybe you do. But, I mean, the O2 sensor above and below the catalytic converters is looking at the different oxygen levels in the exhaust stream. There are so many other things besides just a damaged cat that can cause that. I mean, do you have a misfire? Do you have a spark plug not working well? Do you have a fuel injector dribbling too much fuel or plugged up and not doing enough? Same with, you know, if you get a PO301, okay, that's a miss on cylinder one, but why is it missing? Again, spark plug, coil pack, we got ring issues, we got a valve issue. It gets you, you know, on the road. It tells you to go to Joplin, you need to be on 44, but it doesn't tell you anything else other than that.
Similar to this texture, I had almost the very same truck a few years back. Mine was an 05, and it had a four-wheel drive issue, and I know that's kind of common in those things. And it seriously took me over a year to track the real problem down, because there are so many options of what that could have been. It was throwing the code, and every once in a while when I would start it up, you could hear things chunking around, and it didn't know what to do with putting it in two or four. And one day it finally fired up in four low, and it was just done. That was where it was going to stay. So I drove about 20 miles an hour home to get it somewhere. Like we were talking about, we actually, it's a good transition. That's a good reason to have towing. Because sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen, whether it's tires or your four-wheel drive is stuck in low or anything. Having towing can really save you.
And if you got a problem that puts your car in a limp mode, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Because I drove one yesterday that went in a limp mode, and it's luckily I didn't get run over. But when that happens, they'll only go like 10 or 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to be in a spot where I was kind of near downtown, and I was able to take some back roads up to Skytook where I live, which is still pretty far, but, you know, at least there were back roads available to me.
Yeah, but it's something that when it happens, you deal with it. And that's when, like you said, it's when you need a wrecker, because you can't drive a car 10 mile an hour across Tulsa unless you're just either brave or very stupid, one of the two.
And these things will sneak up on you. So, Troy, it's one of those things we were talking about. Think about the cost difference in one tow versus some kind of subscription.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of them out there. We were just talking, you know, pre-show about AAA, because that's one most people are familiar with. I mean, your basic subscription is $60 to $70. Well, if you've got to be towed once, I mean, your hookup fee is going to run $45 to $65 plus, you know, anywhere from $5 to $15 a mile. You don't have to get towed very far before you spend a multiple of that subscription. You know, it becomes an issue of look at multiple options before you need them. Pick the one that makes the most sense financially, because everyone goes, oh, well, you know, I've never needed a tow. Well, when you do need it, you need it badly. And do you really want to take the chances of just scrolling through your phone, picking the first one that pops up or the first one that you can get to you quicker? And trust that they know what they're doing, that they're going to take proper care of your car, that they're insured in case something happens, your fault, their fault, nobody's fault. You know, again, I've had AAA since forever, and I bought it for my kids when they first started driving. Find a subscription service that works for you, and that, you know, 60, 70, 100 bucks a year, fine. You drink one less Starbucks a month. It's not that big a deal until you need it, and then it's a huge deal.
Towing is probably a great benefit, but my brother has it, and he's just a forgetful kind of guy. And I can think of, I might be able to count on one hand the amount of times he's locked his keys in his truck. So they'll come out and they'll pop your doors for you too. And they drove to Porham one time for him to pop a door.
Holy cow.
He was out there in the woods where his land is to go hunting. And
one of my daughters was bad about losing keys, and we got her a deal at Beeps where it tells you where the keys are. She lost it. So I don't know where you go from there.
Well, gentlemen, we have another question via text at 95920, but let's squeeze in our first break here. We'll answer that when we come back. Lloyd, this one's for you. Think about how to clear up some headlights. Think you know a thing or two about that?
I know a little bit about it. These guys know as much as I do.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is the Wheels Car Care Show on News 102.3 KRMG.
Just let a modified Peloton. It's got plenty of style.
Welcome back to the Wheels Car Care Show on KRMG. I'm Skyler Cooper, sitting in for Denver Fox. Lloyd Boland, the inventor of PC41 headlight restoration, and we've got a text question at 95920. I love their wording here. 2001 Mustang has cataracts on the headlights. They want to know, how long would it take to work your magic and make those clear again?
Well, it depends on the light. We can, on an average, do one in probably 10 to 15 minutes. But it depends on the light. Now, if it's really bad, you may have to do a little more sanding on it, and we call it just color sanding because that's really what it is.
Yep.
It's the same procedure. And then you, if the temperature's, depends on the temperature outside, but you have to be at least 60 wherever you do it. And if you do that and follow the directions, you'll be just fine. But usually about 15, 20 minutes.
And you can get that out at Cecil & Sons, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We sell the consumer kits at all three locations. And, you know, as long as it's on the surface of the headlight, the PC41 does an amazing job. Yeah. If you've let it go long enough that you're actually starting to see micro-fracturing in the plastic, then you may have gone too far. But if it's a surface issue, it's an amazing product.
Yeah. Even when it's not, if it goes through, like Troy said, it'll still help.
Yeah, I had my old 94 GMC, and I ended up, rather than trying different things, this was a long time ago, I ended up putting in some cheap aftermarket lights, mm-hmm. and that's not the way to go. I did not end up happy with those.
Those fog over so fast.
Yeah, they were not good. So my question is, if you've got something kind of newer, and you just start to get the hint of this, is it good to go ahead and do that and get in front of it?
We do. It's just preventative.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, those are really quick because they have such slight damage, but it is a good policy. You can prevent it from that point on.
That way you're not getting to, you know, it depends on the way you use your car too. If you're sitting outside all the time or if you're garage kept, you probably won't get there as quickly.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see one light really bad, the other one not. So it depends on where they're parking.
Okay, so they're facing the northern lights or whatever.
Well, and if you're garage kept, a lot of times that's garage kept at night, so it's where your vehicle sits during the day at work, too, is a big issue.
And it's not just headlights. I mean, my 01, the way I parked it at the work and home, it just so happened that the right rear was in the west sun, and my right rear taillight kept turning pink. And, I mean, you just can't have pink taillights. It's just not right, man. But the PC41 works on that as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen
things besides headlights? We used on bumpers and different things to touch up little spots. Yeah.
Haven't considered that. Have you guys seen, there's, you know, Oklahoma Ingenuity. I know a guy who, he was driving a car that had once been wrecked pretty bad, and rather than buy a taillight, he fashioned a Prestone bottle with different colored tape, red tape, yellow tape, and that was, Troy's looking at me like, you can't be serious.
Well, red tape's a big business in this state.
Which is wrong.
I see
a lot of taillights like that.
There are so many salvages. And I mean, even though Cash for Clunkers was a horrific idea that's done and continues to do damage today, there's still a lot of cars in the salvages. Pieces used are usually pretty reasonable. There's always eBay, you know.
Get a part.
Yeah, there's easy ways to do it. And we were talking about maintenance on your headlights, but that's actually a good thing to remind about. What kind of mileage and things should people be looking at for other types of regular maintenance, like checking, even though it's internal, it's relatively simple, like a timing belt? Where should you go looking into that? I mean, at what point should you say, I might need to get this stuff looked at?
Well, it's time to break out the dreaded owner's manual. Ooh. And, you know, get your cross and your holy water and whatever other, you know, paraphernalia you need to open that glove box and look. But it does vary. I mean, you look at Hyundai and Kias, a lot of those are 60,000 mile intervals. A lot of the Hondas and other Asians are, you know, more than 90 to 105,000. But look at your manual and plan on it, budget for it, put a few bucks away a month because it's coming. You do not want to push that timing belt much, if any, past its service life. I mean, we've all got stories we were sharing before the show of timing belts that went, you know, 2 and 3 times their service life. But we remark on that because it's remarkable. We also all have many, many, many more stories of people that spent thousands of dollars repairing cars because they didn't do the maintenance of changing the timing belt at the right time.
And Lloyd, you said you've got a kind of a commemorative timing belt up on the wall.
I've seen one go over 200,000 miles, which that is the absolute exception.
It had to be running bad because of the stretch and the everything in it.
It was all road miles.
Yeah.
But the guy did drive it reasonable, and I'm sure he drove it pretty easy. But anyway, what Troy's talking about is I don't know, does it tell in your owner's manual? I can't remember, Troy, if it's a collision engine. That's what
it doesn't. It typically just tells you what the interval is, but I am unaware of any timing belt equipped engines that don't have the potential to be damaged if the timing belt
not
breaks.
Not anymore because of variable cams and everything else.
Right, and what they're talking about is if the valves are timed where they open and close when those pistons are down. And if the pistons are up and you open a valve, it's going to contact, you bend a valve, you could damage a piston. It could be just a head, it could be a piston, it could be a complete engine.
Lloyd, we were talking at the top of the show about the camshafts, and I always heard flattened cam, and yes. It took me a long time to realize, because that doesn't look like the kind of part that can be flattened. But what does that actually mean?
A flat cam is when the lobe wears away. I haven't seen any for years. We used to see a lot of them on Chevys.
Chevrolet and flat cam used to be kind of a synonym.
They had a telltale sound. They would always pop back through the carburetor, always. You could always tell by hearing them run what it was.
I mentioned the fact that a lot of the guys in my high school liked to soup up those old C10s. Yeah. One guy, I think he threw it together and didn't spec a single screw, so he flattened a cam every other day almost. His family was in the automotive business, and they could get parts apparently pretty easily, and he liked to build motors that went fast but didn't stay together for more than a week or so.
Yeah, but a camshaft's not an easy job. That's a major, considered major. You've got to do a lot of stuff. And the motors are building now, and sometimes even to change the lifters, you have to pull the heads off.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something we were talking about a few weeks ago. If you've got an older street rod, if you're still running a, you know, either a hydraulic or solid flat tappet cam where the lifter actually rides on the camshaft, you know, a lot of your modern oils aren't going to do an adequate job of lubricating that. You need to be looking at, you know, the racing oil, or you need to be looking at the pouring additives that have zinc or other heavy metals as traditional oils did. A lot of the companies that sell these crate motors will require you either to buy their break-in oil or to use a diesel oil. I mean, a Rotella 15W40 is approved by some of the companies as a break-in oil because of its high sulfur content, its high load capacity compared to a regular motor oil.
I've seen those crate motors go awry too. And my friend had one, and again, a C10 truck, and it was a 72, but it turned out to be, I think, maybe a 10-year-old crate motor that was in it. And the skirts on the pistons just were chunking away. And I don't know if it was the previous owner's mismanagement or what.
Well, it's hard to say, but a lot of times, how we word that, operator trouble.
The loose nut behind the wheel.
Yeah.
In this case, that could very well be. Well, we've got another question. This one kind of goes inside the cab of a truck. We'll tackle that after we go to a quick break for the bottom of the hour news, and we'll check the forecast. This is the Wheels Car Care Show on KRMG.
It's an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. The wheels roll on with answers to your automotive questions from the pros at Cecil & Sons Discount Tires and Tulsa Gas Technologies. Again, here's Denver Fox, along with Lloyd Boland, Troy Cox, and Tom Sewell on News 102.3 KRMG.
Good morning. It's the Wheels Car Care Show. I'm Skyler Cooper, sitting in for Denver Fox this morning, along with Lloyd Bolin, inventor of the PC41 headlight restoration. And we've got Tom Sewell, Tulsa Gas Technologies, Troy Cox, Cecil & Sons, Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Sepulpa. Gentlemen, we're talking all things automotive this morning. Anyone's got a question, they can call us at 918-460-KRMG, 460-5764. Answered some questions earlier about different lights that you'll see coming on and different ways your headlights can be repaired. Question here via open mic on the KRMG app. Let's see if we can tackle this one.
I have an 07 Tahoe. The radio stopped working, but there's nothing wrong with the radio. It's not getting any data, apparently. I replaced the electronic ignition, but didn't the sleeve. What do you think?
I didn't hear all that. I don't know if you guys did.
He said his radio's not working. He replaced the electronics sleeve, but it's not getting any data. You know, I will tell you, on my 14 Chevy truck, I'm on my third factory radio.
Wow.
So I'm guessing they're having some issues with them. First one just stopped working, kind of like what this gentleman's talking about. The second one, when it got hot, would just start randomly scrolling through stations. The third one so far, knock on wood, is working. But now that I'm out of warranty, if it dies, I'll go aftermarket.
Yep. Yeah, I had a similar situation again with my old 05 Chevy where it was one of those six disc changers. And when I sold the truck, I said, you've got five CDs in there. So if you can get them out, they're yours, because it just stopped working. He said, all right, fine. I don't really listen to CDs, but I'll use it.
That's not that uncommon, I don't think.
We also had a question here. Someone called in. They didn't want to go on the air, but they said they wanted to know, and I know, Tom, a lot of you really have some racing experience. They want to know about Brodix high-performance parts. Do you have experience with them? What's your opinion about them?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of money with those guys. They are very, very good quality heads, or they make all kinds of aluminum cast parts. It's a good company. You know, a lot of times you don't take them right out of the box. You take them to the racing machine shop, and they do things, put the right valves in them depending on what you're doing. But Brodix is one of the top brands.
Is it something you should mess with if you're putting it in a street car?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I've never bought anything for a street car for these guys. We always buy it for our sprint car. So we never take it out of the box and just put it on the car. We end up having to do machine work to it to get it to either fit our intake or, you know, the injectors, put the right valves that we want in it with lifter springs.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I guess if you've got a cost no limit street car, sure, why not? But for most street cars, even pretty serious street cars, most people don't spend that kind of – they don't spend Brodix level money for a daily driver.
You can send in your questions. Text us at 95920 or give us a call. It's 918-460-KRMG with any automotive questions. We've got Maverick on the line. Good morning, Maverick.
Good morning.
So what kind of vehicle are we talking about?
Got a 99 Ford F-150.
And what's the problem?
And lost the key, the transponder key, but I have a key that I can open up the doors and, you know, of course, put it in the ignition and it'll crank, but don't start. But my question is on eBay is several programmers. And, I mean, there's a lot for sale, and they're cheaper than what lock shops want to program a transponder key, and so I was wondering if they actually work.
What kind of price have you got from a lock place?
Around $115, $135.
Yeah, you can get it done for under $100. I can tell you that. Unless you're going to use that program or a lot, I don't know what they cost. I've never explored that on eBay, but. If you're not going to use it but one time, you'd probably be better off just, if you call me at work, I can give you a number. But there's several people around town that do it that are reasonable.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what's your number?
My number is 918-663-0722.
0722?
Yes.
And your name?
My name is Lloyd Bolin.
Right. Okay, Lloyd. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to be careful with the programmers, because a lot of them will tell you they do a lot of things. And then when you get them in, they may do those things on certain vehicles, but they may not do it on the entire – they may not do everything they're rated to do on every vehicle in the range.
Yeah, that's one of those things I've seen. Sometimes you can buy things and maybe save a few bucks. In this case, you might be able to get a better deal if it goes through you. But oftentimes you'll get in that, then you'll get a big headache trying to figure out how to use it and work it. So it's better to just get it done sometimes.
You bet. I've never had good luck with that stuff.
Yeah. It's not necessarily through me. They're just – you get variation in prices.
Yeah.
It's just the market.
In the break, Troy, we were talking about people having issues with warming a vehicle up, and that had me thinking. I know we're kind of on the upswing in temps now, but there was a story out this week warning people, and it's mostly from the police warning, but there's also kind of a mechanical issue here, and I had a question about warming your car up and how exactly essential, I mean, other than getting your interior warm, is that essential on your motor if it's cold to warm it up?
Well, I mean, you get so many different opinions. We've talked in shows past about, you know, the argument, well, you know, you've got cold enrichment is throwing extra raw fuel in the cylinders to wake the cats up so they've got the extra fuel to burn to come up to operating temperature, may or may not interfere with the piston ring lubrication. I haven't seen an issue. I've had vehicles run 300,000 plus miles. If you're not going to warm the vehicle up, at least give it time to go up to temperature and then idle out of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to roll out 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 RPM, you know, 10, 12, 15 miles an hour to give things a chance to come up operating temperature, great. I think the biggest damage you're going to do is if you fire it up and flog it immediately cold.
I always think about it, no matter the temperature, when someone I see someone fire up their car and then they're going. Give it that 30 seconds it takes to kind of level out the RPM. And I don't know if that actually matters, but to me, that just seems like that's harmful.
At least get the oil pressure up. Get the engine fully oiled before you go out and start hammering on it. I do warm my vehicle up. And, you know, I'm fortunate that it has the, you know, factory-installed remote start, so it's still locked up. You know, if someone does manage to break into it and hits the brake or tries to get it out of gear, it's locked in gear. They can't move it, so I don't have the theft issue. And I have a fairly short commute to work. So for me, on balance, it's do I run it 5 minutes, 7 minutes if I catch the lights red to work and it's not come to operating temperature, or do I give it that extra 3 or 4 minutes in the driveway so maybe I have less condensation, maybe I have less, you know, oil contamination issues from the short hops that are my normal drive.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll be warming it up. When we're talking about that kind of season in the winter, you're really more, okay, let's let the defroster run on the windshield a little bit and maybe heat up the interior a little bit. Not so much.
That's good advice Troy's given, though. But we're all ex-racers, so we used to build motors and kick them wide open. So they either held together or
But I did. Always did it warm.
Yeah.
At the Chili Bowl, we actually have heaters that we keep our cars hot between the races.
Yeah, it is crucial. It is.
And speaking of warming things up, and last week when it was really, really cold, both vehicles that I drive, my personal truck and this KRMG car, they both threw the tire pressure thing at me. And it's always a good reminder for folks, when you see that tire pressure sensor kind of say, hey, you've got low pressure, does the cold weather actually change the pressure in your tires, or
Absolutely.
Is it the sensor?
No, it changes pressure. You're going to lose, on average, about 1 PSI for every degree the temperature drops. You're going to gain about 1 for every 10 degrees it goes up. So when we're going into a cold snap, look at your tire pressure placards, typically on the driver's side door sill, and bump it 2 or 3 PSI. If it says 35, 37, or 38, it's not going to materially impact your ride or comfort. But, you know, if we drop 30 degrees and you've added 3 pounds of pressure, you're still at your recommended pressure.
Yeah, I always wondered if you should. So you're saying kind of get ahead of it and do
Absolutely.
That before the cold.
A low pressure is hard on tires. It can make them wear unevenly. It impacts the handling. They don't respond as crisply or quickly. It takes more gas, more energy to roll a tire that's underinflated. There's no good of running a tire underinflated, and there's a lot of bad.
My Ram truck actually says, whenever it tells you, it's got the sensors and tells you the actual reading for each tire. And then at the bottom of that little screen, it says fill to 39. So is there kind of a cap, you would say, how high you would go over that recommendation?
Yeah, you never exceed what the maximum rated pressure on the tire is.
The tire, not what the truck says. Yeah.
Well,
right.
The truck is never going. I have never seen a truck, as far as just a regular half, three-quarter ton truck like we'd see, that recommends more pressure than the tire that came on at factory is rated at. Usually the pressure recommended is significantly under the tire's max.
Yeah.
But if you've got a tire that says maximum 51, don't put 60 in it. If you get a tire that says maximum 80, don't put 90 in it. If you say your tire says maximum 35, don't put 45 in it, because overinflation carries its own set of issues. The tire crowns, you're only running on the narrow center traction of the tread, so your braking and cornering are adversely affected. You're more vulnerable to impact brakes if you're significantly overinflated. So, you know, try to stay close to the factory recommended pressure, because believe it or not, they've actually tested handling, traction, tire wear. There's a reason for those pressures being recommended.
Yeah, so very. You don't have to compensate for relatives and large children.
You know, the classic story there is, and this is going back to the 70s, we had a customer with a Monte Carlo, and the guy we had aligning back then was a magician. I mean, he was one of the greatest guys I ever saw. He was just amazing. But this guy kept coming back with a 76 Monte Carlo going, it pulls. And we checked the alignment, and it was right on the money. Right. And Tom's already making the motions. He knows where this is going. So the guy comes by one day, and the car's listing significantly. And he's just really frustrated. I don't know what you guys are doing wrong, but it's pulling right now. And you say, come by when it's doing it. Well, his passenger was large, extremely large, like making a 76 Monte Carlo, which is a long land barge of a car, list visibly. So at that point, our alignment guy goes, So it's a matter of offsetting the alignment to compensate for the deflection there.
I was just kidding. I'm sorry. But I know it can be true. Yeah.
Stay in the car while we align it.
Of course, the issue there is when he's by himself, the car then has a bit of left drift. So you got to make allowances for situations sometimes.
Conversely, he's looking into new leaf springs and coils and everything now. Let's take our last break, gentlemen. If you've got a car question, I'll try that in English. Anything going on with your car, you want to give us a question, call us at 918-460-KRMG. We'll do our best to answer it for you. We're coming back on the Wheels Car Care Show on News 102.3 KRMG.
Ask the Experts Weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. You know, if it's about your car, truck, or SUV, we've got you covered. Cecil & Sons Discount Tires and Tulsa Gas Technologies welcome your questions on wheels on News 102.3 KRMG.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Wheels Car Care Show on News 102.3 KRMG. I'm Skyler Cooper in for Denver Fox. Any automotive questions you've got, give us a call, 918-460-KRMG, 460-5764, or text us at 95920. Gentlemen, we took a call earlier about this radio, and we're taking some questions via text by this guy, and we're trying to help through it, but he says a radio guy checked the unit and says the unit's fine, but he's not getting data. He's not even hearing his turn signals or his backup beeping. So what could we think?
So now you need to start moving upstream to where the data would be sourced, one of the body control modules or the primary ECM of the vehicle. He's outside probably what the radio guy is going to be comfortable doing. He's going to have to find a serious automotive electronic shop to start looking at data streams, because you've got CAN buses, you've got wires running multiple signals from multiple modules that look at sorting out those signals based on which module they're coming from. And I mean, wiring on new vehicles is becoming a nightmare. As Lloyd's pointing out, you know, something as simple as a ground can screw with systems that you would think aren't even associated with that ground, just because we're, again, using one wire to run multiple signals that, based on their coding, is how which each module knows to pay attention or not.
Just have a couple of minutes left. Let's jump back to the phones. Robert's got a 98 Mercury. Robert, what's going on with your Mercury?
Yes, sir. I've been told you have to take off the intake manifold. You know, it's a dual overhead cam Duratec motor. And but I've been told you have to do all that just to change the plugs on the back side of the motor that's next to the firewall. I mean,
I've never heard of that. Yeah. What size motor was it again?
It's a 3.0 liter dual overhead cam.
In a Mercury.
Oh, you may be talking about the plenum now. That's a good possibility. That's not a big deal.
You have to take the intake off to get to the plug?
Well, that's how they call it. Vehicles, plenum, absolutely. But there's a difference in a plenum and an intake.
Oh, okay.
Plenum sits on the intake. The plenum's plastic. And normally it's not a big deal to pull it. We see a lot of them, we have to do that too, to pull plugs on them. It's not unusual.
Okay, okay.
I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's time, and time is what you're paying a mechanic for, because at the end of the day, it's all he or she has to sell. So, I mean, you may have an additional hour's labor to R&R that plenum, plus an additional set of intake gaskets. I mean, a lot of them have O-rings, and I know some people go, oh, well, they're O-rings, we can reuse them. No, don't. They're not that expensive.
Robert, thanks for the call. We've also got a 98 Dodge. Question about a 98 Dodge from Beto. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on with your Dodge?
We're just what it is, I got a 1998 Dodge Durango, a 4x4. It was sitting up on my driveway. It sat there for about a month. And when I pulled it out, it ran fine for about a mile, 2 miles, and it felt like it kicked itself into neutral. So obviously I looked down and it was in gear. And it ran fine for about another mile, and all of a sudden it did it again, and it would not move after that. You would actually have to rub up the engine, and it would go a little bit. That was the only way I was able to get it to the house. And it just started from one moment to another.
Yeah, and it is automatic.
Okay. It's automatic.
Yeah, it's what you've got probably is a filter stopped up.
My filter stocked up.
Yeah, what's happening, you're pulling up. Now, you may have some damage in the transmission. What does the fluid look like, or have you looked at it?
I looked at it. It looked, it's clean. It is really clean.
What's the mileage on the car?
Oh, about 170,000 miles on it.
Okay. There's a real good possibility that that is what's wrong with it. And the first thing you could do to find out, change the filter in it and see what happens. But that you're describing of restrictions, what you're doing. It's pulling up debris into the filter. And it may be clutches. It may be, you know, most of the time it'll be clutch material. But it may, in your case, it may just be sludge. If it's been
just,
that many
just,
miles.
Just the filter then. Start off with that.
Yeah, do that. If that doesn't fix it, you might as well get your checkbook out.
All right, we're just about out of time, guys. Joy Cox, Cecil & Sons Discount Tires. They can find you Sand Springs and Sepulpa.
Yep, open 7:30 to 3 on Saturdays, 7:30 to 5:30 weekdays. Got rebates available on Goodyear tires up to $200 on some sets. Rebates available up to $70 on sets of Pirelli tires through the 29th of this month. And Monroe's got rebates running through the 31st of this month. It's all available as far as the information on our website.
Tom Sewell? Good time as any just to change over Tulsa Gas Technologies if someone wants to go CNG.
Yep, come down. We're ready.
Lloyd Boland, we talked about at the top of the show, you're the king of the crankshaft and the inventor of PC41 headlight restoration. Can't beat that stuff.
No, it works very well. I want to give Tom a recommendation on his price of fuel. He mentions it every week and just smiles, but he could go up and nobody would say a word.
That's right, $1.55, it's $2.29 for gas. All right, you can listen to the Wheels Car Care Show podcast on KRMG.com, and we're back here next Saturday at 7 a.m. Have a great day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.